play. Yeah.
Kane is in the building.
Yeah. Alright, already the show goes on all night. Till the morning we dream so long. Anybody ever wonder when they will see the thunder? Just remember when it comes like the show goes on.
And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Always Pressing PGA DFS Podcast, previewing the 2021 PGA Championship. It's the fourth major of the PGA Tour season, technically third this year, because I don't think we get an Open again, which really stinks. But you can check out the podcast on Twitter at Always Press DFS. I'm at BDentric, and my co-host, as always, on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods. Jesse, how we doing, man?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Not too shabby, not too shabby. A fun Byron Nelson weekend. Any hot takes, Mr. K.H. Lee?
Yeah, I played him. I ended up getting effed by the old 6-under cut there. It was quite the pitch and putt.
Yeah, it was pretty wild. I had 13 of my 15 players in my player pool all made the cut. Problem is one was Fitzpatrick, and he was in three of my four lineups, and the other one was Tom Lewis, who finished at minus five. So, yeah. And they all finished, three of the four finished in the money. So it's like what could have been really, really tilted my face off in a big way. But
same, dude. Peters was the guy for me. We were chatting about that. But, yeah, that was, are we really going to play that for the next 4 years?
Right now we are signed up for that for the next 4 years. Yeah. Yep. So
I guess it is what it is. But that golf course is not terrible. I thought it was a good design and layout, but it's just fucking easy for these guys.
They're going to have to they'll figure something out. I think I'm hoping they'll figure something out. I think the advantage of having it for 4 or 5 years in a row is they can like, go, okay, this is where they were doing this or that. Maybe they'll try to grow out some rough, or maybe they'll try. I don't know. We'll see. They could always just use the argument. All these places do. Well, if the wind plays, that's always the argument you hear. So
I'm with you.
Who knows? Who knows how that'll turn out? But it was fun. KH Lee dominated. Schwartzel did well. Spieth was hanging around again. That eagle he made on Thursday on 18 was freaking bananas. But overall, I thought it was a fun tournament. But yeah, it's getting a little old. I guess getting old when you see just these bloody birdie fests. It just doesn't do it for me.
I got a feeling it's going to be a little different this week.
I think you are correct. I think you are correct as we head to South Carolina. To the wonderful ocean course at Kauai Island. And this is going to be a doozy. We'll get to the course preview shortly, which I'm not going to give you a totally in-depth course preview because it's been forever since we played it, but I'll give you the gist of it, which is it's long and it's going to be challenging. But Jesse, what kind of past event history do you have, even though they're at different golf courses?
Yeah, so last year, Colin Morikawa was the champion, 13 under. The year before that, 2019, Brooks Koepka, 8 under. The year before that, Brooks Koepka, 16 under. JT won in 2017, 8 under. Jimmy Walker, 14 under in 2016. Jason Day in 2015, 20 under. Rory won his second of two PGA championships in 2014, 16 under. That was at Valhalla that time in 2014. 2013, Jason Duffner was a champion, 10 under. And Rory won this tournament by 8 shots in 2012, 13 under. Second place was David Lynn, who? I don't have a clue, man.
I couldn't even tell you who he is.
Well, he's a English professional golfer who played mainly on the European Tour, but took up full-time membership on the PGA Tour for the 2013 season.
I would, too, if I finished second at the PGA Championship. Like, this stuff's easy.
Yeah. Oh, never heard of him. But yeah, 8-shot win by Rory McIlroy. He shoots 13 under. Next best is 5.
That's pretty wild, and that's because this golf course has a lot of – to do with it, and it also kind of shows you how, and that was 2012 Rory. That's not even what we're seeing now, Rory, or even what we saw 4 years ago, Rory type stuff. That is pretty wild to think about with Rory McIlroy. Cause we're playing a golf course this week. And the cool thing about the PGA is that it changes. And most of the time it's public courses for the most part, as I'm aware, which is really cool. Like Harding Park last year, we've had Quail and some others. So Bethpage. So it's really cool. And Bethpage, I'll never forget, that was the quote where Brooks goes, you know, you can already cancel like 100 people off the pool. Yeah. That can't even come close to beating me. So like, I love the cocky. That's where I really started to embrace the full Brooks Koepka moment. But I don't think that's going to be his presser this week, just guessing by the way things are going. But he's still going to be doing his thing. And it is 156 golfer field. Couple things to think about. It's T70 and tie this week instead of the T65, which will be, it's the only one that still does it that way. It's also the tournament that allows invites like 20 to 30 PGA pros. They can pretty much, for the most part, just cross off your player pool. And then it's got like John Daly and a couple other old timers. You can just cross off the player pool. So that's why Brooks wasn't completely lying when he said 100. It's probably more like you can already eliminate like 50 right out the gate. Not happening. Like the Asian players that come over from the Japanese tour and the Korean tour that usually don't fare well with these events. Pretty much cross all that stuff off for the most part.
Yeah.
And just don't think it's almost, it's like the Masters, which with a little extra oomph where you can just kind of cross guys off the player pool.
Yeah.
So keep that in mind, but the course is also going to potentially cross some people off the player pool. We'll see. But the Ocean Course at Kauai Island, it's a par 72. When Rory won this in 2012, I believe it was around 7,600 yards, give or take. And that was the longest major course in the U.S. in history. Well, now it's been expanded to 7,876 yards. I don't know about you, Jesse. I know you probably hit the ball a lot farther than I do, but if just to play 7,800 yards, imagining I don't have to clear anything off the tee, I'm shooting an easy buck 20 at this thing.
I'd be lucky to break 100 myself.
Yeah, because I'm not long off the tee. I take pride in like being able to grind it out and make it work that way. My short game saves my ass. But yeah, what these guys are doing, I just can't imagine it. It's pretty much all on the ocean, or at least I think like three quarters of it's on the ocean, which you don't get anywhere else. Thus, the swirling ocean winds that come up like crazy. Some of it's just gentle, no big deal. Get a little pebble action where Gary Woodland goes low type stuff, or the year Rory won it where it got really bad at times and he just blasted the field. So you really don't know, because you can look at the forecast and get an idea of what the weather is going to be, but ocean winds just, they have a mind of their own. So it's going to be a lot of fun watching that. A couple other things to keep in mind, mostly all the par threes, the four par threes are over 200 yards and one, I believe, is like over 250.
Did
like
you see 17?
Yes. Like just like it's bananas, man.
I mean, you got to carry water, and I don't know if it's into the wind or not, but it's 230 or something, 233. 17 was playing 233 from the back there, so
I'm pretty sure. And I apologize if I got this wrong, but I read a bunch of stuff and listened to a bunch of course descriptions, and I want to say the front nine is primarily wind behind you, back nine is primarily wind in your face, but it swirls a lot, so it could change. But that's the most of the layout. Could have mixed that up. But if 17 is into the wind, yeah, pray for those people. Like they said, I think it is into the wind, because I heard on certain days you'll see these pros hitting 3 wood into that.
Well, we were talking about like that hole, and one of my buddies said I'd pull 3 wood, and I was like, I would pull driver and try to cut it,
yeah,
and then pull it over into the grandstand and get my free drop.
Yeah, use the facility to your fullest. Well done. You've learned a lot by paying attention to this recently. Just ask Brooks. Remember how Brooks file said I tried to hit it off the backstop?
Yeah.
Just advantage of it.
You got to do what you got to do, man.
Yep. Take advantage of the layout they give you. Play the course. Don't let the course play you. So that'll be very interesting. Water comes into play on like 6 or 7 holes, and it's not the ocean water. There's actually water on the course. If you hit it into the ocean, you're probably not in this tournament anyways. That's something I would do, not these guys. So keep that in mind. And then what's going to trip out a lot of people is there's a ton of areas that are just like quote unquote wastelands that look like bunkers, but they're not bunkers. So you can ground your club, but it's like parts of the beach, like there's going to be seashells and rocks and all kinds of crap in this. So it could be considered native area, but what they call it's like wasteland, but it's legal to hit out of. And it's right by the fairway. So it's pretty much your fairways, a little bit of rough, or you're in the freaking wasteland. And that's going to make things wild, especially if it's a super windy day and these guys are just piping things everywhere. So that's going to be interesting. It's a Pete Dye design. So as we know, Jesse, got a certain spots off the tee. Like he doesn't care what you can do, but you need to land in certain areas to give yourself a chance. The green complexes are very tricky. So this is one of the courses, I believe back in 2012, if you're in the fairway, you hit the greens about 65% of the time. If you are not in the fairway, you hit them less than 45% of the time. So put that into perspective for you. Pass ball on greens. People will say they're easy, they're slower, they're stickier, whatever you want to do. I don't care. You got to still get there and putt, because just getting there is going to be a grind to begin with. Super long, but it's a link style course. So based on the wind and how dry it is, because it's going to be windy, it's going to dry the course out. You're going to get a lot of roll if you're hitting the fairway. So keep that in mind as well. It's going to be a lot of fun. Really, really fun tournament. Like there's a bunch of ways to attack it, Jesse, because you can play for the wind, you can play for not the wind, you can play for bombers, you can play for smart, accurate players. because I think they're all going to have their chance depending on the weather. Yeah. So how do you attack? It's like, what stats are you looking at?
I mean, I'm waiting driving distance. It's you got to hit it far at 7,800 yards. I mean, I don't care who you are. You've got to be able to get it out there. It's going to matter this week. And then just your normal, I think par five scoring at a par 72 is going to matter quite a bit. I think the vast majority of the birdies, I'm not sure how easy the par fives play, but typically these guys can birdie just about any par five. So I think that's going to be a huge factor. And then just your normal, you know, shots gained tee to green approach, you know, recent especially form on that. One thing that going back to what you talk about it being a good week, did you see how much coverage there's going to be this week?
No, I did not. I'm assuming it's good if you're mentioning it.
I mean, it's like pretty much 12 hours every day from ESPN Plus to ESPN Thursday, Friday, and then ESPN Plus and ESPN CBS Saturday, Sunday. So I'm pretty sure it's just going to be on constantly from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m.
So that's outstanding. Start to finish. I have a swamped week, but I'll have to try to figure that out.
Cause yeah, I'm not even, I'm planning a member guest this week.
My wife's graduating from nursing school, so we have the ceremony and a party and all kinds of stuff. So yeah, I'm pretty much out on that one, but I'll try my best to catch up on it. But the other thing, you mentioned the par five scoring. We talked about par three a second ago, but the par fours also, it's six or seven of them are well over 450 yards.
Yeah.
So you're going to need that long iron game to come into play for you as well. So it's an extremely tricky golf course. That's what makes it a major style golf course. It's going to be fun to see and different ways to approach it to break it all down. Real quick, let's talk some Fanshare Sports for you. If you go to fansharesports.com, use promo code ALWAYSPRESS. Get all the goodies you want there for about 20% off the package of your choice. And I just went through some different meth deals. You can do all kinds of search engines here. But just overall, last 10 events on Seaside or exposed golf courses when it comes to DK scoring. Webb Simpson, Justin Rose, John Rahm, Berger, JT lead the way in that field. Last 10 events on Pete Dye courses, you have the likes of, you know, Willie Z's only played two on Pete Dye, but he plays very well there. But Johnny Rahm, Matt Kuchar, Answer, Bryson, DJ, Webb, Brooks. So, yeah, big names, big tournament. Last 10 events on in a major, last 10 majors, DK scoring. Brooks, Xander, DJ, Finau, Rahm, Webb, and Vic Hovland. So a couple of names keep ringing the bells on these ones. And the last but not least, last 10 events on 7,200 yards or 7,400 yards, par 72. And I also clicked on strong field strength. So it's a tough tournament and a long golf course. John Rahm, Jordan Spieth finishes second here. Justin Thomas, Xander Schauffele, Willie Z, and Russell Henley checked the boxes here. I wanted to put long as shit golf course because they only said 7,400 yards, but they didn't allow more than 7,400. So I'd love to see, like, if we bet a 76 plus, how that kind of changes a little bit.
There's just not many. I guarantee
no,
it.
No, this is a behemoth. I think there's the Corn Ferry one up there, I think in Boise, where they have like a par six, like 700 or 800 yard hole they play.
Yeah.
That would probably be the next closest thing is my imagination. So, all right. Let's get into the DK scoring on this bad boy. And it's rather loaded, as we talked about here. And we kick it off in the 10K plus range. You got Rory at 11.5, JT at 11.3, DJ at 10.9, Rahm at 10.5, Bryson 10.2, Jordan Spieth at 10.1. So, Jesse, who you like in the 10K range?
I'm just going to, like, they're all playable. This is just like every week. I mean, these are the best golfers in the world, the top six golfers in the world or whatever. So I wouldn't talk anybody out of playing any of them. The guys that I'm definitely going to play, DJ, he did play here in 2012. He finished 48th, whatever. It's his home state. He withdrew last week from the pitch and putt open or whatever that was. And I don't know. I just feel like he might go a little bit under the radar. And then the other guy that I'm definitely playing, I don't care, Jordan Spieth, just going to play him. That's first, third, ninth in his last three starts. Ninth place last week. He didn't have really good, like, he started off really well, but then kind of had a, you know, shit Friday round and then a shit Sunday round, whatever. I like him. His short game is good. And he's not the longest off the tee, so he doesn't like when I weight driving distance so heavily, he's not like super high up on the model. I was looking at some fan share stuff, man, and he was good on some of the stuff I was pulling up too. So those are the two guys I'll definitely be targeting. I think Bryson's GPP play like always, and you know, maybe it's his week. I don't know. But like last week he shoots 7 under at that place. I thought especially once I saw it kind of how it played, like why is he not shooting 20 under?
Yeah, I'd love to go back and look at his like hole by hole and see what happened, because he shot even on Saturday and I think 1 under on Sunday or something. It was bizarro world with Bryson. That's just the world Bryson's in right now.
He shot 3 under on Sunday.
3 under, okay.
So maybe he finished at like 10 under or something. But either way, he's fucking 15 not what he should have been back, right?
Yeah, he was way off the call there. So it's interesting, but yeah, he's always GPP viable, because if this turns into a windy mess and it's hard to hit fairways and the rough is thick, like a major rough, well, we've seen Bryson succeed in that like easily. So that's definitely something you can take a look at in his regards. You can make your argument for Rory. I think he's going to be very, very popular, of course, all things considered. I think he's in play for sure. But my guys I'm looking at here is I like Jordan Spieth, like you mentioned. I'm just going to keep – I've started tailing you. You've been on him for a long time. I've been playing him the last couple of weeks. He's just locked in right now. And I think one thing I'm going to compare a lot of the stuff I look at too, because I'm preparing for some wind. I don't know how windy yet, but it's on the ocean. You're going to get wind. There's just no way around that. So it's got like a British Open vibe to it. And it's a link style course. We've seen Jordan play phenomenal at these HEP courses. So I think that's something he can definitely carry over to. So give me Jordan at 10-1, and I'm going to go to John Rahm. I know he missed the cut 2 weeks ago, finished 34th last week. But, man, he shows up at these type of tournaments. He shows up at tough courses. Distance is never an issue with him, but the short game is also very, very good with John Rahm. And if guys are missing the greens the way they are, a guy that can bomb it the way he can, but also operate around the green. Big fan of that. So Rahm and Spieth for me in this 10K range. All right. 9K range here. We got Morikawa at 98, Xander at 96, Brooks at 95, Hideki 94, Hovland 93, Webb 92, Patty Reed at 91, and Patrick Cantlay at 9,000. Who you liking in this range?
Sorry, Nagels. I think, yeah, I mean, this range is fine, but Xander, he's rating up pretty highly on the model. Like him quite a bit. It just he's got the distance coming off a 14th place finish at the Wells Fargo, finished third at the Masters. So I like him. I like Vic Hovland, but I think he's going to be super popular. Just looking at some stuff already, especially with fan share and tags and stuff, he's number one currently. I mean, obviously that'll change between now and Wednesday, but two straight third place finishes for him at the Wells Fargo, which was I think can be a semi comp to this, just as far as how difficult it's going to play. Finishes third there. Valspar finishes third, 21st at the Masters. I mean, I'm not a super huge fan of this region myself, but those are the two guys that I'm pointing out. Like, I you can't really play Brooks, can you?
No, I want like nothing would make me happier than to see Brooks hoist that trophy on Sunday, because just the world would explode. Like the PGA Twitter world would explode. But it's just so hard to see. And people have pointed out, you know, his off the tee was like the stats you want to see were good. He just couldn't get it done around the green. Could you fix that? Maybe. But it's just the dude can't even, he still can't, you know, crouch for a freaking putt. It's like something's not right then. I don't care how well you're hitting the golf ball. Like, it's a long ass golf course. Like, that's a lot of wear and tear, boy. And it's back to back weeks, which he hasn't done yet on this league. So, I want him to win, but let's see. 9K range for me, though. Like, I actually like this range, and it's something I've been doing a lot lately. And we usually are on the same page on this, but it's a loaded major pricing deal, so you have options everywhere. But I feel like I want to almost go 2 to 3 guys here, like I've been doing lately, and just pile it on, because I feel some of these guys have, you know, the elite of the elites in the 10K range. There's no hiding that. But you have a lot of great win equity players in this 9K range that could take care of it. Like Morikawa at 98. If you need accuracy off the tee, you need long iron play, there ain't many better than Morikawa on tour, period. And it just comes down to, can he get it done around the green? When we saw him when he won at Concessions, he did that. When we saw what he won at Harding Park, he did that. When he blows up, he doesn't. So we don't know. But I think at $9,800, he's a very strong play. I like Xander a lot this week. It seems like a lot of people are on Xander. So that'll make things interesting. So we usually know how a chalky Xander goes. Not well. So I like Xander as well. But Big Vic, man, I've been riding him the last couple times out. He's played tough courses, tough fields, and played extremely, extremely well. He's going to be extremely, extremely chalky as well, though. So keep that in mind. But he's one of the chalks I don't mind as much at 9,300. And then the other guy I have written down here, and if it's going to be windy, and it's all about the short game, and it's all about just saving par and getting some birdies, you know who's in play this week, Jesse? Patrick Reed. Patrick Reed at 9,100 bucks. Like, didn't play last week. Got a sixth at the Wells Fargo. Blew up at the Valspar. Eighth at the Masters. This is just, you know, if it's not a 17 under deal, if it's more like a 8 to 12 under deal, this goes right into Paddy's back pocket. So, and he can hit out of the sand and ground his club as much as he wants because it's not technically a bunker. So this is his playground. This is what he wants. So yeah, I like Paddy quite a bit. Like, I'm gonna try to build a couple lineups and see how they look, how I feel about it with like a Morikawa, Hovland, Pat Reed start and see where that goes. It might make things very murky, but we'll wait and see on that one. All right, 8K range for you. You got Cam Smith at 89, Willie Z at 88, Berger 87, Finau 86, Scheffler at 85, Fitzpatrick 84, Sungjae 83, Fleetwood 82, Rose 81, Hatton and Usti 8,000. Another big time range. So you're going to see a lot of people either go in the 10K range down to the 8K, or they're going to start mixing and matching. So what do you like in this range?
Start up top with Cam Smith. If it's windy, the Aussies play well in the wind. And then you look back at his most recent tournaments, 9th, 10th, 17th, 11th, and 4th. Dude's just playing very, very well. And I don't see him being that popular, especially with Zalatoris right below him. I do like Will Zalatoris. I think he's fine. I think he's maybe potentially hit a little bit of a wall. I expected him to play better last week.
Just snuck into the weekend too.
Yeah, I mean, he's playing a shit ton. So if he does hit a wall, I totally understand it. But, you know, this is – I don't know that I'll actually end up playing him this week because I would rather play somebody like Cam Smith. I think Scheffler's okay. You know, he's become a pretty popular name. I mean, he was fucking like 40% owned in the shit that I was playing last week. And maybe just because we were in Texas or something. I don't know. He's got the Texas narrative, whatever. But with that being said, he's a win player. Dom in the chat there said Daniel Berger. He had a really good weekend, especially on Sunday. Shot 64, 8 under, and ended up finishing third last week. Coming off the 13th place finish at the Heritage, I do think he's playable. I don't know where Finau's game's at. You know, I've seen Tommy Fleetwood's name already. He might be a little bit more popular than what I want to deal with. I think Justin Rose at 8,100 is interesting. Mm-hmm. He did finish third here when it was played here in 2012. Again, you know, it's not really necessarily what I'm going to go off, but coming off a miscut at the Valspar, not great. Finished, you know, seventh place at the Masters. I don't really want to pay this much for Justin Rose at this point, but I think a lot of people will see it that way, and he might come in, you know, at some pretty low ownership. So really, for me, I really like Cam Smith. I think Berger's a good play, Scheffler as well, and then Rose.
100% with you on Cam Smith. He always comes in rather low owned to begin with, and you mentioned the Willie Z right next to him. That's going to lower a lot of ownership for Smith. I'm a big fan of his, and you mentioned the wind play, just the overall play for him in general. Coming off the wind of the Zurich with Leash, 9th at the Heritage, 10th at the Masters. Dude's playing some great, great golf. So, yeah, I'm 100% on board with you at the $8,900 price tag there. Berger is looking great. The form's good. He's $8,700, pretty cheap. I'm not sure I'm there yet, but he does, like they say, check the boxes. But I could see that with Berger. Finau's the guy I'm really curious on. He's $8,600. Any other time, if he was coming in playing great golf, he'd be like 25% owned right here. We've talked about it so many times.
Oh, easy.
It's major Tony Finau pricing. Here it is. Well, now we have a chance to get him at like 10, 12%. And it's like, I kind of want to, you know, miscut at Wells Fargo, but then 10th at the Masters, miscut at the Valero, played okay at the match play. It's kind of been all over the board. But man, an $8,600 Tony Finau, where if he's getting it off the tee, which he usually can, he's good around the greens. Like, this kind of spell, like, you know, it doesn't have to go shoot 2,500 par like last weekend. He can hang around and get the job done. He can take advantage of par fives. Like, I really think I'm going to be having some Tony Finau this week. And you know what? If he misses a cut, it's fine. But when we talk about guys that can win or, you know, top five, at $8,600, Finau can do that. We know that for sure. So that just, like, if you're trying to win a millie and he's coming in not super chalk like usual, I'm kind of on board with this, taking that chance in a tournament. Like, in cash, if you don't want to go there, totally get it. I totally get it. But in a tournament for the upside Tony Finau brings to your squad, I think I got to go that way. A couple others here. I will go back to Fitzpatrick, especially if we give the forecast a wind. He can grind it out like no one. Like he's not a – I didn't know the course was going to play 25 under, given he putted like crap last week, and that's not his forte. But he wasn't going to contend anyways. He doesn't score like that. He has to be in a low-scoring deal. So I'll go right back to him this week, hopefully at depressed ownership because of the missed cut. And then Hatton and Usti are interesting. I like both of them. Usti's been playing really, really well, playing out of his rear end, basically. But both of them at $8,000, potentially coming in at rather low owned, I think gets some nice leverage. Hatton finished third back in 2012. That was Rose. Sorry. Hatton didn't play here. Usti finished 21st back here in 2012. Usti's coming off an eighth place at the Valspar. So both have taken a couple weeks off, but I think they're both intriguing. But I kind of like the upper 8K range a little more than the lower 8K range for now. But you got those Euros, like you said, Fleetwood, Rose, Hatton, Usti. You can play the ownership game, so they'll probably come in low owned in this field. All right, $75 to $7,900. Jesse, who you liking?
Start with Abraham Answer at $79. Just a guy who has been playing well, but also just tends to show up. Second, fifth, 18th in his last three events. Hasn't missed a cut since the Genesis back in February. Neiman along the same lines at $7,800. I don't know when the last time he missed a cut. It was before November, but 18th and 8th in his last two
starts. He's got the new record since Rahm lost.
Oh, did he?
He's got the new cuts made record right now. Right now, the live one.
I'm with you. I think he's fine. Paul Casey at 77. He showed up on some of the fan share stuff that I viewed before we started here, and he did play here in 2012, but missed the cut. 21st at the Valspar, missed cut. 26th, 5th, 10th, 5th, 12th, 1st. I mean, you know, not great recent, but overall playing pretty well. Corey Connors hits the ball long enough. If it's not a putting fest, mm-hmm. I think he's very, very playable. Similar to Mark Leishman, he did play here in 2012, finished 27th. Played last week, finished 21st, 5th at the Masters, playing good golf, Aussie win player narrative. What about you, Sam Burns, man?
I even joked about it last week. I'm like, he fits like he's a super go low guy. So that should have made sense, but we never see guys go back to back, and he fell apart on Sunday, I guess, or just didn't go low on Sunday. But yeah, that's impressive stuff.
I'll be interested to see his ownership and like how highly touted he is, because like if you go back to like the last true like test was the Players Championship that he played, and he shot 81-76. Yep. At the Arnold Palmer, he shot 77-72, both of them missed cuts. I mean, those are a lot more difficult courses than the Valspar played this year. It should have been more difficult. And then obviously at the Pitch and Putt Championship last week. So I don't know about Sam Burns. He rates out very well on the model, but we'll see. And then Bubba Watson, dude, at 70-75, very much in play. 11th here in 2012. So Bubba plays well at places he likes. Apparently he might like this place because he finished well here. 18th and 13th in his last two starts, so two straight top 20s. At 7,500, I think we're getting a steal there on Bubba.
Yep, 100% with you. Bubba loves Pete Dye courses. Like at least half or more than half his wins in his career been Pete Dye courses. And this is one of those deals that if you have to grind it and, you know, shot shape and whatnot, this just screams Bubba Watson. So $7,500, he's going to come in like medium owned, not high owned. Like a lot of these guys, you can kind of play the ownership game in the 7K range pretty well, because Bubba comes in at 75 looking really, really strong. I love Leish at 76 for all the reasons you mentioned. I've been riding him lately, and he just didn't go low on the weekend. He went into the weekend on fire, just kind of fell apart on the weekend, but like him a lot at 76 as well. And then Neiman at 78, huge, huge fan of that, because if it gets windy, we've seen him when he plays in Hawaii and other places. He's got the stinger. He's got everything you need, and he's got a pretty darn good short game too. So I like Neiman at 78, and then Answer at 79, like you mentioned, and the one guy you did not mention, and I'm going to be on him for sure this week. At least half my lineups will have this man in here. He'll come in low-owned. He is a guy that can play in the wind, as we've seen very well. He can play links courses very well. He's a defending Open champion in Shane Lowry. I'll be on him at $7,800 because this setup, especially if it gets windy, fits this guy's game big time. So I like Lowry at 78 quite a bit. So this 7K range, it's going to be juicy. That's why I kind of feel when I was looking earlier that I can go 3-9K guys and then drop in here and be pretty comfortable with life. What do you like in the 7K to $7,400 range?
Right at 7,400. This dude named Garrick Higo plays on the European Tour.
Coming off
a win at the Canary Islands Open Championship. He scored 170 DraftKings points.
Oh, it's like he played a pitch and putt.
66, 63, 64, 64. Got the dub. Straight European Tour player. So, I mean, I don't know much about him, but just my model likes him quite a bit. Keegan at 73, man. I mean, he hits it long enough. Played here in 2012, finished third. Playing very well as of late. 18th, 2nd, 23rd, 30th in his last four starts. Hasn't missed a cut, which is pretty surprising for Keegan since January, which is the American Express Open. 7,300, I feel like that's a low price on him as far as he can hit it and if he doesn't have to make a shit ton of putts. Cameron Champ at 71, if we're going to talk about length, obviously he's got it. He has made three straight cuts. He made the cut last year at the PGA Championship and finished 10th. Has a decent track record at the most recent major championships. He did miss the cut at the U.S. Open, but finished well at the Masters both the last 2 years. Kokrak at 71. The dude's just playing out of his mind. 13th, 49th, 9th, 8th, 9th. I feel like that's a really low price for Kokrak, as good as he's playing. And then a dude who is a Pete Dye specialist. He did miss the cut here in 2012, Matt Kuchar. Mm-hmm. Coming off a 17th place finish, he actually flashed some form and was up before a Sunday 73, which doesn't seem terrible, but when everybody else is shooting 600 and you shooting 73, you're getting lapped pretty hard. So he fell down the leaderboard, but he might fly under the radar there at 7,000.
Yeah, I like the Cooch call quite a bit. Yeah, this range, it's, again, for your tournaments, for your leverage, I'm in. Brian Harman at 74, coming in phenomenal form, 18th at the Wells Fargo. We've been talking about him for weeks now, 13th at the Heritage, 12th at the Masters, almost won the match play, 3rd at the Players. Like, the dude is playing outstanding golf, $7,400, plays well on Pete Dye courses. I like him quite a bit in this one. And then Matt Wallace, I said it in the chat when we were talking the other day, and I wrote him the last couple tournaments he's been in because he's cheap and unowned, basically. Might be a little more popular now that people are finally figuring out who he is, but the dude's ball striking is elite right now. There's been video of him out there practicing over the last week, getting used to the golf course. 6th at the Wells Fargo, 18th at the Heritage, 3rd at the Valero. Played well in the match play, 34th at the Masters. I like Wallace at 74 as well. And then a few others. You mentioned Keegan Bradley. I like that call. It sounds weird to say I like that call, but he's been playing some pretty damn good golf, which is pretty wild to see. A couple others to peek at here potentially. Harris English might be slowly getting it together. He's a southeastern boy. I know he's from Georgia area, but South Carolina, finished 13th at the Byron Nelson, 43rd at the Wells Fargo, missed the Heritage, but 21st the Masters. Could be an interesting tournament play at $7,200 if you want to get some low-owned English. The other guys, Jesse, it's pretty bizarre. Cam Tringali was like 10K a while back. Now he's 7,100, missed cut at the Wells, 3rd at the Valspar, 9th at the Valero, 13th at the Honda. So a couple of easy tournaments, I guess, but $7,100 seems interesting, to say the least. Yeah. I don't know. Do you have anything on Tringali?
I'd rather play him if he was in the 6Ks, but, I mean, I wouldn't be against it if somebody did play him. Like I said, the comp to this most recently is the Wells Fargo as far as scoring goes, and he missed the cut there. So it's not like he played terrible. He shoots – 1 over, 2 over, so 3 over total. I can't remember what the cut was. Maybe 1 or 2, but
it was 1 or 2. Yeah,
yeah.
Just missed.
Super highly owned. I mean, you should be able to get him at less ownership, I would imagine, at least. Definitely. So, I mean, that's a good thing.
So he's interesting down there. The couple other ones I had here: Emiliano Grillo at 7K. I know he's not the crate, like people don't look at him at long courses, but 14th at the Wells Fargo, missed the Valspar, 2nd at the Heritage, 6th at the match or at Corrales, which was on past Palm Greens and super freaking windy. If you want to really go that far, 21st, the API could be another kind of comp course if you want to go difficult wise. So Grillo at 7K kind of is an interesting play. I don't know if he can like win the damn thing, of course, but could he finish top 25 for you at 7K? I think so. And then you mentioned Cooch, and the last guy I got to mention just because I rode him at the Masters to a beautiful 12th place finish. He finished 59th at the Heritage, 9th at the match play. And I'm talking Bobby Mack at $7,000. And he finished well last week at the British Masters. So Bombs he's coming it. in. he's playing some pretty good golf. So Bobby Mack, I like quite a bit at 7K as well, at likely very, very low ownership. 6K range, we have a lot because it is a major, Jesse. What do you like down here?
Yeah, I mean, not a whole hell of a lot, but Stewart Cink at 69, 100% in play. He did miss the cut here in the 2012 version of this or whatever, but his length, he's playing really well, 37th, 1st, 12th, 19th in his last four starts. Højgaard at 6,700, another European Tour guy. He has missed two straight cuts. For some reason, the model likes him. Not 100% sure why. Brendan Steele at 65 could be interesting. He's not missed a cut since the Mayakoba back in December. His finishes aren't great by any means, 70th, 77th, but in his last two starts, he did finish third at the Honda Classic, but he's got the length to compete here, I believe. Andy Sullivan, 6,400, another European Tour guy, come off a sixth place finish at the British Masters last week. If the wind's up, you know, some of these British guys or European Tour guys might be worth considering. George Coetzee, you know, if you're super deep in a GPP down here, he's not going to be owned by anybody. He showed up on some of the fan share stuff that I was looking at earlier, and that's pretty much it. I mean, like I said, I'm not really trying to dip down here too awful much.
Yeah, Ryan Palmer at 69 is going to be very popular. Just keep that in mind, but he's a guy we know that can make things interesting in events like this. Kevin Na, if it's a lower scoring event, I don't mind. 29th of the Valspar, missed the Heritage, 12th of the Masters. He's $6,900, and he could be in play. I feel like I need to, and I might regret this, go back to Charles Schwartzel. Third last week, 14th, 21st, 26th. He's made six straight cuts. He's played some really, really good golf.
Yeah, like, dude, listen. I had a choice to play Charles Schwartzel or Cameron Champ last week. Guess who I picked?
You picked Champ.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool.
And then the whole time in my head, I was like, Bubba said to play Schwartzel.
Yeah, I had a Schwartzel KH Lee lineup combined, and it was beautiful. It was glorious. Actually, yeah, I didn't even want to talk about some of the lineups I had.
I feel you.
It was so tilting. But yeah, Schwartzel at 68, I'm a big, big fan of. And then a couple others, guys we've ridden in Masters or Majors and, you know, WGCs and stuff before. Bezenhout at 68. We've seen him contend with the guys. Like, maybe not win it, like you said, with Steele, but, you know, give you a top 25-ish or so at $6,800. Don't mind Bez at all. Norin at 66 is interesting. Coming off some decent performances, a late 21st at the Byron Nelson, 21st at Valspar, 25th at Heritage, 46th at the Honda. So Norin at 66 is a guy I could see jumping in there for you. And then a couple others, Joel Dahman, one of the more accurate drivers on tour, period. Distance isn't there, but if it rolls out like Link style, he's in play at 64. If it's super windy, Marty Party Laird at 63 is in play. And if you just want a super punt for a past PGA Tour winner, and a guy that comes in such up and down a form. Some weeks he has lights out stuff. Some weeks he's a mess. But if you just want to punt $6,100, I don't hate JT Poston. Like, the dude can ball it out. He's from the Southeast. He knows how to get it done on courses like this. Poston at 61, I could see. I'm not saying play him now, but if you just want a super punt, that would be my guy this week. All right, let's recap things real quick. Jesse, who's your top play, 10K or above?
I'm going to say Spieth.
Speed. I'm gonna go with Rahm. Rahm at 10-5. Who's your top 9K play?
I'll say Xander.
I like so much in this range. I'm gonna go with Morikawa, but man, I like this range. 8K range. Give me two guys.
I'll say Cam Smith and Rose.
I'm gonna go with Cam Smith and Finau. 75 to 79. Who you got?
Answer.
I'm going to go with Lowry, 7K to 74. Who do you have?
Kuchar, and I'm going to give one more to Keegan.
I'm going to go Harmon and Bobby Mack. Then who's your favorite 6K player?
Sink,
Stu Goat. I'm going to go with it's a little tricky down here. I'm going to go with Norin, Alexander Norin for now, $6,600. All right, if you're starting a cash game lineup this week, who you got?
Just from like looking at my model, like I think Neiman might be cash viable. Xander would potentially be in there, leaves 8,100, and then you can throw somebody like Paul Casey in there and still have 83.
Yeah, I wrote down Answer, Neiman, Harmon. Just start in the 7K with those three, and then you can go high, low, or whatever you feel like. But whatever you feel comfortable with after that. GPP, who are the first three guys in your GPP lineup?
I would say Spieth, Bubba, and then I would throw in somebody like Answer.
I'm going to go with Morikawa, Hovland, and Finau. That's my first three. So we'll see how that doesn't cash this week. And then it's loaded. You get some good odds this week because it's such a loaded field. You don't see too many long shots winning here because difficulty and whatnot, but you could probably get some like 80s or something, maybe 100 or so. You never know. Who you like winning this thing?
You start.
I start. Well, I think Vic at 20-1 is very, very intriguing to at that price point. I love Cam Smith. I just don't know if he breaks through at this one. I'd rather take Tony Finau at 40-1 than Cam Smith at 40-1, even though I like them both quite a bit.
Yeah, I like Cam at 40. I would bet that.
It's a good price point. Mm-hmm. If I had to go a little longer, you know, as much as we clown on him, Rose at 80-1 is a long value.
Rose and Paul, Casey, both at 80 is not terrible.
Bubba at 100.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not thinking, like, I'd be surprised if they won, but those odds are too long for the talent that they are, in my opinion.
Right. Well, and, you know, just the course suitability as well on it.
Like, if anything, at those 80-1s and 100-1s we just talked about, go put a top 20 in at like 4-5-1 or something. Like, that's not too shabby because I would not be shocked about that at all.
For sure.
This is a good week to do. I say it every time, I'm broken record, but I like some top 20 bets just because it's a loaded field. You can see a lot of goofy crap happening here.
Yeah.
I wouldn't put money on KH Lee at plus 125. He was fun last week. Don't see it happening this week, but
I don't either.
Yeah, you could have some more fun with it for sure. There's a lot of good stuff to like this week. But final thoughts, Jesse, as we have another major on hand. There's a Millie Maker. There's all kinds of good stuff. We have Dom always pitching in the Slack chat with all kinds of cool stuff. Kevin was around this morning. We've got people everywhere. So final thoughts.
Yep. Good luck. Have fun. It should be a great week just to watch in general too, if you got ESPN Plus.
Yeah. I will say I'll plug this one. If you guys are looking for like a 3 max or something like that, the Mayo's half full and it's over $100,000 rake free. It's a massive tournament this week. So it's $15 each 3 max. I don't plug it all the time, but it's a ridiculous payout. No,
it's a really good,
it's the best tournament you can play because DK is not taking your money essentially. Right. So like I recommend any time that you can just play against the field and not the actual
books.
So go check that one out. It's a big payout this week.
Mayo's the GOAT. I mean,
yeah, he's the man. He's done. We wouldn't be doing this if it wasn't for him. So pretty simple stuff there. Like, we could talk, but no one would listen. with that being said, everybody, come join us in the Slack chat if you have any questions. And if you can rate and review the podcast on iTunes, we'd truly appreciate it. You can catch the podcast on Twitter at AlwaysPressDFS. Jesse is at DFS Golf Gods. I'm Matt B. Dientrich, and good luck this week. We'll catch you guys next time.